Welcome, and you're listening to a Queued Up Media Group production of Geekologist Radio, a division of the Ninja Pancake family of podcasts. And now...
Shut up and sit down!
Hey everybody, it's Brandon, and welcome to Geekologist Radio, where we take you through our queue into our gaming systems, and we're going to ride that hype train for like ever long, because the hype train this week is going to be super duper long. Let's introduce everybody tonight. First up, we got Caucasian Saint.
Yes, the hypening too. We had a trailer explosion earlier this year, and now we just had trailer explosion too, the July Movie Fest. Yeah, I'm ready for it. All right, Chris?
All I could think of was Sharknado 2. Like, that's the only thing. It's explosion. No, super excited about everything that's coming out. The movie trailer festival was awesome. D2 today, man. So, yeah, I'm pretty excited about our conversations this evening. Mr. Nash?
What's up, everybody? I am hyped, to say the least, along with all you guys, and to talk about all the things. Let's get into the podcast.
All right, first up, in our queue... We switched round and round till half past dawn. There was 57 channels and nothing on. 57 channels and nothing on. 57 channels and nothing on. All right, so first up on NRQ, we had the season finale of Legion. I know two of us are not watching it because they gave up on it, and honestly, after this season finale, I'm probably not going to watch the second.
What happened?
What the hell? I loved this season finale.
Yeah, but you're a Care Bear. It's your.
I am not a Care Bear. I am not. Hey, you know what? We're gonna get.
I feel like we were.
No.
We were prophetic. Prophecy.
Yeah. We're gonna get no, because you know what? I'm gonna counter that. We're gonna get Drop Slash on from Destiny Ghost Stories, and he will champion this along with me. We'll get you.
Okay. The reason I didn't like it. And since you guys haven't seen this and don't really care to see it, it's not spoiling anything. The reason I didn't like it is because they set up season two to be exactly like season one.
Well, that ends it right there.
David was captured at the very last scene. And so now they're just going to have
to go back. He's not captured.
He was dreaming.
No.
It was an imagination.
No.
This is a dream sequence. No. Oh, Cajun's out, dream sequence.
This is building up this is building up the official team. That's all that, you know, that he's not captured. He's assisting. He thinks he's captured. It's made to look like some of the people like he's captured. He's not. Read the comics. He's not captured.
That sounds like a dream sequence.
I'm not a Legion fan at all. However, this is how every ending of Walking Dead happens, where somebody gets captured and then they have to escape. It's no different than The Walking Dead, if that's the case.
He's not captured.
Yeah. All right. Rate the season, guys. Okay. Out of 10, whole season as a whole, guys, I watched it through. If you had to put it out of
6.
10. Damien?
8, because I did not like the ending. I did not like the fact that you had to go and watch through, because if you did, it was a cutscene that they added in to the end, and it would have been higher had it just ended the way that I thought it ended, but with the way that they added that in at the end, I was a little...
It was like after the end credits?
Yeah, it was at the end credits. Well,
end credit is where David gets recapped.
He's not captured.
I would have rated it a 7 or 8 had I not had to watch through either.
Yeah.
The acting is superb. Okay, acting is superb throughout. The special
effects
are great.
There's many things that are acted great,
But it's a psychological... You got to enjoy something that's a psychological film. Like, or it's recorded. It's not all like action, but this next season is going to turn it on its head. It's going to be a lot more action-oriented because Legion's going to be using a lot more of his powers.
Was supposed to turn stuff on its head.
It did turn it on its head, right? Because you were introduced to the new mutants, which is what this is directing going towards. It's the new mutants. Legion, my guess is Legion will go on for a couple seasons building up the new mutants, and then FX is going to create a series, which they've already talked about wanting to do. Marvel's talked about wanting to do a new mutant series. You're going to see it move into the new mutants.
I know what that Marvel can do to help this series out. Bring in Tony Stark. That's helped.
Jesus
that helps
Christ.
Out
there you
helps
go.
Out everything.
Does. Come on now, guys. First off, this is a Fox, so Tony Stark can't go anywhere near it.
I'm Iron Man. No.
Wolverine, you can put Wolverine in it.
Fox, listen, Marvel Iron Man fixes sucks. Everything with Tony Stark.
There you go.
But, okay, so speaking of superhero shows that had good acting in it that weren't great, Luke Cage had good acting. They just had bad writing and bad direction for some actors who were trying to do stuff with some horrible garbage things. But I disagree.
I do disagree on that.
Yes, man. Well. Just look this picture that
Listen,
the
I'm
theme.
Just, I'm just trying to mess. The, I, no, I'm just trying to mess with you.
But speaking of I Do Weddings, Flash had their singing musical episode. Were you able to watch it this week, Brandon?
I did. I watched it this
week. Was it good?
Week. Holy freaking crossover,
yeah.
Man.
Crossover with Supergirl.
So before they had their mid-season big crossover between all four of the big CW shows, this did exactly the same thing, but with some of the minor characters. Mm-hmm. They brought in the professor from Legends of Tomorrow, and they also brought in Malcolm Merlyn from Arrow.
Yep.
How was the singing?
Yeah, not bad. I don't like musicals, but I enjoyed
They
episode.
Had about five or okay. six songs. They had two originals. One of the originals was written by the writers of La La Land, the songwriters of La La Land, before they won awards for it. And that was the end song, and that one was really good. And then they had a humorous one, which was a duet by Flash and Supergirl. It was very campy, but humorous, and that one was very, very entertaining. If you just paid attention to the dialogue, it had jokes in there. That one was fun.
Okay. With that song, the only thing that I was reminded of was from South Park, I'm Super.
Yes.
Was it cheesy when they went into song, or did it make sense in the context of the story?
It made sense because they set up, so the villain in this one is the Music Master. And that's sort of his thing. He brainwashes people and makes them do what he wants. So he brainwashed them and put them in a musical. So it's just like, boom, plot element engaged.
Khan was right. Hashtag Khan was right.
Oh, yeah.
But he wasn't actually a villain.
Yeah, but Khan set it up. Young Khan was on last week and said that they were going to have a puppet master.
Yeah, correct. Yeah,
right.
Correct.
He was not a villain, though.
Exactly. There was a twist where he wasn't doing it for nefarious purposes when he reveals his true purpose later. So that was probably the only twist in it. But I enjoyed it, and I would kind of hope they would do one a season because they have a lot of material they have a lot of episodes to do it with. That they can do one of these a season. One thing we were wrong with, though, was Josh Whedon had nothing to do with this. He was talked about directing, producing, doing stuff in it when it was originally concepted, but it never actually came to fruition.
Really?
So that was he's too busy. Right? He's too busy writing Batgirl script. Too busy. Too busy.
We will get into that in the hype train.
Maybe we will. Maybe it's not official because we mentioned Josh Whedon unofficial stuff last week. Do it again this every week in a row. Josh Whedon something that he's not going to do.
Maybe if we want him to do it, we better not talk about it.
Ooh, Firefly season 2.
Oh, God, don't even.
Oh, we're bringing this back up again. We're bringing back a Firefly again. Nathan Fillion.
Wait, listen. Well, Nathan Fillion is busy right now. He's busy. Yeah.
Well, Firefly season 2 is like Half-Life 3. It's just constantly fans want it, and will we ever get it? We don't know.
No. Yep.
But one show that's coming to a barreling end is Walking Dead.
I was so disappointed in the way that they captured the weapons. Like, were you not like, oh, so they just walked into just took it over real fast, and that was the end of it? Like, it was kind of, it really caught me off guard. I was expecting more.
Yeah, and that was their plan. Like, nothing could go wrong here.
Yeah. I mean, they walked in, the old lady was old. And so the girl was like, oh, well, I still have feelings for you. And then that was it. And I thought that there was going to be some plot. Like, if this was the case, at any point, anybody could have overrun these ladies.
Yep. They just need to know where they were at. Yeah. They were so defensible. Like, as soon as people would get close, they were supposed to be shot on contact. Leaving anybody alive was a sin. And then people were like, they had snuck in all around that place and had like explosives on the outside set up, and it was a very convoluted plot to get the guns. But I did forget that they did try to kill her when she escaped the first time. Like, they're escorting out, but she was supposed to be killed or something. So she did have a reason to have animosity towards the leadership there.
Yeah, when she popped the middle finger as she was walking away to that little girl, I was like, oh yeah, she was kind of an asshole to her. Like, I was like, now I remember, because it was like so long ago. It was a bit back, but I think that when they left, I was really hoping that some of the female characters from that group were going to come along with the group,
right? Yeah,
and I thought it was really weird that they made it very. That's it. That's the end of the conversation. They're going away and listen, nothing else. So it was,
how many movies have we seen and other things where this storyline has played out? Now, I'm not trying to accuse them of reusing storylines, but this is what happens. You think that they're supposed to come, but they don't. Then they run into a situation where they're winning. Then all of a sudden something happens and they're getting backed into a corner. Now, excuse me. Here comes the cavalry. They come in and they're able to, and they're helping out. That's what
there was a Carl sighting. Yeah. I mean, Carl showed up for the first time in forever, so it was kind of cool. And the other thing for me was kind of a humanizing of Jeffrey Dean Morgan's character. Mm-hmm. I really thought that the initial potential rape scene that they showed, which is what they were alluding to with her, and he stopped it, and then when he said this doesn't fly here, and just my wife actually closed her eyes when he stabbed that dude. Like, it was pretty gruesome.
Mm-hmm.
And for a second, I actually felt for Negan. I was like, oh, well, maybe you've just been backed into a corner a little bit and you're just trying to keep everybody safe. So I don't know if I'm gullible or not, but I felt like that for Negan. And I'm hoping that was the case. I'm hoping they were trying to humanize him in some way.
Right. And I definitely thought that was a fake out scene. Like, I thought that guy was in there to test and to basically be bad cop to Negan's good cop in that scenario. That it wasn't an actual scenario that was playing it out. I thought it was a test, because he's big on tests that we saw earlier, but we haven't seen hardly any big tests. Like, he didn't really test Eugene. It was just like Eugene was passing everything. He was also seeing through it, but he hasn't done much on the test side. So I really thought that's where he was going with it, and no, it wasn't.
Sasha really played on Eugene's emotions to get that pill. I mean, I'm just looking for a way out. She was literally crying suicide. Like, I just want a way out of this thing. And Eugene brings her that pill, and the smirk that she has on her face, which the smirk to me initially was, I think she thought he was going to hand her like a razor blade or a piece of glass or something. She gets the pill and it was kind of like an oh shit moment. But then the last shot of her was, oh wait, maybe I can use this.
Right.
And so, and then they cut away.
Because her entire goal was to kill Negan. She's like, give me a weapon so I can kill Negan. She's playing on that. And he gives her a cyanide pill. Like, what the hell am I doing with a cyanide pill? And yeah, she figures it out. But she was just like, she was distraught, and it's like, oh, I just wanted a gun so I could shoot Negan in the face and not myself. Oh.
So that was like, that was kind of, even in the preview where they showed the governor that was going to be going after Maggie, it seemed kind of cheesy. And then when he wouldn't attack any of the walkers, and then the guys walking by said, oh, I thought that he was, you know, he said he claimed that he had killed many. That was the beginning of the end when he pulled out the map and was heading to go see our boy with the mustache, because that's where he's headed next.
Yep. So it was, so Negan reveals that a little birdie told him that Rick was rising up. So it was either the governor or of Hilltop it was Eugene. And I know Eugene's turn, but I hope he didn't turn that bad, and that this was just a timing issue where they were filming it during different times, that the timelines aren't aligning in the scenes that we're seeing, and that the governor actually had time to make it there, and he was the one that did the review.
Yeah, we just want to be careful because the governor, we're talking about Hilltop and we're not talking about the governor from season two, right? Season two, season
he's
three.
He's back in the walker, so but a Keith and thing.
Yeah, he's back. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, when he calls his buddy in and he's pouring that the two shots of tequila and down at him, and he's looking for the map, which, by the way, of Virginia, which I thought was kind of interesting. Like, he had that whole layout of the Virginia map. We know where he's heading because he was told at any point in time, if he ever needed to speak with him, he could go find him as long as he was honest. So that's exactly where he's heading. Right. Maggie's now embarrassed him, and to the point where his authority means nothing in that colony. So he has to do something.
Yeah, the only way he can keep his authority if it's given to him by Negan. And so yes. He needs to go confirm his authority with Negan.
So if you watch the trailer leading into this last episode, it's going to be one of the extended episodes, which I'm guessing is about an hour and a half, yeah. Maybe two. I mean, I don't think they go 2 hours.
They've never gone.
So it's just a culmination of all of the groups at this point. Everybody's converging on Negan. And so it's going to be interesting because the army of his is so large and this group is so small. And we'll see how they're able to get to whatever point it is they're going to get to. I have a feeling, again, Maggie is going to be a central figure in this because for some reason that baby being born, I feel like even though her stomach has not moved this entire season, maybe that could be the turning point. We haven't even talked about the baby. We haven't talked about Rick's kid, like the little one, in forever. So maybe that's a turning point. I don't know. I guess we'll figure it out next week, but man, it's pretty exciting to watch the end of this season.
Yeah, I really didn't think we were going to get a violent conclusion this season because it was so slow. It was still building up as of this episode when they're like, next week, and then boom. Because it was like, how are they going to assault Saviorville? Like, how are they going to go assault them because everything's not set yet? But it's the reverse. It's Negan finding out and coming to them.
The whole thing with this is that, like I said, this season – They had to have a really slow season to build up to what the future holds. The future is not like, you know, they've had all this thing where they did the buildup of creating basically the universe around them. They got the bigger world. This season was all about creating that. Now the seasons after this are going to be still expanding on that bigger world idea, but it's going back to the bigger world is a more violent world. The teams are going to be at each other's throats. That's just what the future holds.
But they can't keep just doing world building without telling good action, exciting stories. Because if it's just going to be a world build, one exciting thing happens, and then seven episodes of world build and one exciting thing happens, they're going to continue to see their ratings decline, which you're seeing right now.
Cajun, I wanted to follow up your point. What I was going to say was the fact that we lost Abraham and we lost Glenn at the beginning of the season. We haven't lost a single major character since that point. So there's been no emotional tug for the rest of the season aside from the first episode.
Right.
So this show's now has gone 4 months and we haven't felt anything for any other character or felt a loss, which in typical Walking Dead seasons, at least mid-season to right after mid-season, there's another big loss. So we haven't had that yet. I'm very curious on who the person is going to be because they're going to have to hit on somebody soon. Somebody's going to have to pass away, and I don't know who it's going to be, but there's going to be a major loss in this last episode.
Oh yeah, there's going to be for sure. Like that is
not Daryl.
I really kind of hope it is.
No, no, I love Daryl.
I love Daryl too, but that gets people talking. But yeah, I don't know if it's going to bring fans back because there are the people that probably love Daryl who are probably maybe already sitting on the fence who could jump
it,
after
it
that.
feels like they're,
yeah, if they kill Daryl the show's gonna
it
die.
It feels like they're pushing,
I hate to say that, but it's dead.
They're pushing Rosita and Sasha. I mean, that's some one of those two characters is gonna pass away. Like I feel like one of those two characters is gonna die because they've been already kind of leading to that. The Rosita character has wanted to go in there and kill herself, and Sasha's already tried to do it, so maybe Sasha takes out or hurts Negan in sense of some sort, but she dies in the process. Be awesome to even see Josh McDermott go. I'm tired of Eugene.
Oh, that's one I'm not tired of. His character, I'm tired of him being like siding with Negan right now.
Yeah.
But his dialogue and character portrayal are one of a kind and amazing. And I'll be sad to see him go without seeing more of him. Like many of the other characters, I've seen everything they have to offer. I think that character, in terms of entertainment value, has more to offer. But not to actually anybody in the show, because he's just a scientist who can't do much in the apocalypse.
Well, I think that's all we have to offer for The Walking Dead right now. And we've got lots more in the hype train, so let's move on to Game On.
First up in Game On is Zelda Breath of the Wild. So we're still playing this game, and because there's so much to it, wanted to cover just a few things, because we've covered it in big general terms about liking the game and big scope stuff, but there's some nitpicky stuff in the game and some characteristics of it that really found interesting. I wanted to go over Koroks this week. So I've cleared about 75 of the 120 shrines and about 85 Koroks. But I found out there are over 900 Koroks hidden in Breath of the Wild. Did you know that, Chris?
Yeah, you know the reason for the Koroks, right?
The reason?
Yeah. The Master Sword?
No, well, no. That's... No. If you give it to the Dancing King of the Koroks, it expands a few things in your inventory.
Yes, it does.
Ding, 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 ding.
And he does that little dance and he...
Boom! Oh, and he's got the maracas, and he does a little shake, and then ding, and then you get like another open. Then you're like, oh, I can hold another arrow. Oh, sweet, I can hold another weapon.
Have you guys? I know you guys are talking about this, but there's one thing I wanted to ask you guys. It's kind of more of an important thing with the Zelda. Have you guys met Robin Williams' character yet?
Yes. Yeah, I didn't know that was his character, based off his face, until somebody. I saw a meme that had his face next to it. I'm like, oh, yeah, I talked to that character at some point. I don't remember what about, but I did.
Okay.
There's a lot of characters in Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild that are just kind of throwaway characters where you'll meet them. You don't really – I mean, they have a minor part, and then you move on. And so that character, to Cajun's point, was not somebody that was like a major, like, this is a plot-turning, you know, event. It was just, hey, I'm in a town. I met this guy. Great. Move on. And then you're like, oh, crap. I guess that is Robin Williams. Yeah. So it makes sense that they would throw an Easter egg like that in. And if you're smart enough to catch it, great. And if you're like me, who didn't realize it was Robin Williams on the way, you're like, well, that was awesome.
Yep. I just need to find where he's at again and go back and just like talk to the dude. Yeah. Like, all right, there he is.
Good luck without YouTubing that. Because like when I met him, it was accidental. I'm sure I'll meet him on an accidental trip again. That's kind of how things are in Zelda.
Yep. Everything's completely finding stuff accidental. And for Koroks, that's exactly what they are. So they're great for an OCD player, because if you're running around the world and you're like, that looks off, because they can be anywhere. They're basically everywhere in the game. Anywhere that looks out of sync, there's a Korok there.
The first one I found was on the old man's top of his house. And I'm like, oh, what the hell's that? And it was shiny. And I'm like, I touch it. I'm like, oh, that. It was like, I'm a Korok if you find blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, awesome. So I'm like...
Gotta find the shinies. I gotta find the shinies. I gotta find the shinies.
It doesn't even tell you the reason why.
Yeah.
Because in the game, you have to figure it out. And if you run into him, then you're like, oh, well, I have some of these. And he's like, sweet. If you give me some. And they don't even tell you what will happen if he gives you some.
Right. Just give me some. Yeah.
Yeah. And so people have a bunch of these, by the way, who haven't watched YouTube or haven't talked to other players and have no reason why the hell they have them and have not used them.
Oh, yeah. Crazy. Because you completely miss that guy. That's true, because like, the only way you find Hestu the first time is if you're going a certain path in one of the missions. He's on the side of the road. And if you don't find him the first time, then he won't start his journey to his final destination. Oh, man. Yeah.
Nope. Imagine being able to collect in those things and not knowing why the hell you have them.
Yeah, you're trying to spin them on stuff. Like, why do I spin these things? Oh, yeah.
And the importance of them in the game to be able to hold more weaponry or to be able to hold more items is a big deal, because, I mean, to hold more arrows is huge, because otherwise you have to just keep tossing things and getting rid of them.
Yep. I've increased my weaponry so much, my next weapon spot, it takes 25 Koroks to open one spot. My next weapon, I just dumped everything into weapons, and I was like, oh my god, because each time you open up a slot, there's more and more. But the crazy one of the great things about it is there's a lot of different clues. There's about 15 different clues or ways to find these Koroks around the world, and I was kind of researching my talk on this. And I realized there are things that I've seen in the game where Koroks are hidden, and I did not know and didn't find them. So there's a few of these. So one, and see, Chris, if any of the ones you haven't seen or whatever, bring it up too. So one's a ball and chain. If there's a magnetic ball at the end of a chain, you pick it up with magnesis and dump it into a nearby hole or anything that looks like a basket, and one will appear.
Oh, that's great. I didn't know that.
And then there's the block puzzle ones, which are the metal. There's two metal block designs. And if you look at them, that's when your OCD kicks in. Like, that one is missing a piece to be exactly like that one. And then you look around the map, you find the metal ball, a metal cube somewhere. You pick it up and you put it in the spot where to make everything match. Boom, one will appear. Let's see. There's the boulder hole, which if there's this, if there's a boulder sitting next to a hole in the ground, you just push the boulder into the hole, boop, one will appear. And sometimes the holes are pretty far away. You're like, there's a hole way down there. You got to push it, and it goes all the way down there to get it. And there, and one I haven't found that I didn't realize, there's a boulder goal too. If you see a boulder next to two things that look like goalposts, if you push the boulder through the goalpost, one will appear. Haven't found one of those.
That's Zelda. Honestly, playing it on the Switch has been one of the best experiences I've ever had. Like, I could take it, you know, my wife's watching a crappy show that I don't care about, play Zelda.
HGTV.
Go back to my office to play Zelda, ready to go to bed, pop it in, play Zelda. Like, and you can knock out half an hour to 40 minutes at a time and be able to play it. It's really, really awesome. And this game, you can pick it up, look for something really quick, and then put it down again because the game allows you to do that. It's not like you're forced to go through a mission like certain other games where it's like if you don't complete it, you get to either restart or start from a checkpoint. You just start from whatever your last fire is. So you just kind of move on.
Yep. You just say, I'm going to go. I need some cash today. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to go do this.
Yep.
Just go wherever you need to. It's the story is super short in terms of like how much story there is. It's just... you're just filling in those gaps with a lot of information over time to get the four main divine beast and to fill in your memories. And I just found the last tower just like yesterday or the day before. Just climbed up the last tower to fill in my map just because I was trying to get some rupees. And like, I know it's near this tower. I'll just climb up it.
Listen, you guys...
where Zelda gives you the options to like make decisions and kind of play the game however you want to. The game that we're about to talk about next doesn't really give you those choices. It gives you options, but it doesn't give you options to play the game that you want to play, which is Mass Effect Andromeda.
All right, so I jumped into this, and last week we talked about it, and I was focusing on the graphics stuff of it. But I wanted to say that where I was only a little ways into the story, and I still am only a part way into it, but I've been playing it with a different view. I listened to a podcast from Josh, N64 Josh. It's the Loot Cast, and his partner in crime on their Destinot brought up a good analogy for me. And he was talking about how he had to view Mass Effect Andromeda differently in order to get him to finally start being okay with it, or basically what made him find the way to enjoy it. He said Mass Effect 1 through 3 is very Star Wars. He says Mass Effect Andromeda is J.J. Abrams' Star Trek. When he said that, it sparks started going, it clicked for me. I picked up my controller, started playing it, and that's honestly when I've been trying to explain why it felt different, why they felt that there was a disconnect. It's very much first three is Star Wars, this is Star Trek. And now that I'm playing it with that mindset, I'm seriously actually enjoying the game and would recommend someone to jump into it. If you want something that's story driven, you've played The Witcher, you've played some of these other games, you know, that have that large breadth of time sink for them, and you're looking for something else, I do recommend you jump into Andromeda and view it as something that's more of a space exploration, scientific kind of first contact type of thing. You go into it like that, you're going to actually probably find yourself in an enjoyable space.
I could say much more, but I'm going to leave it at at that.
I fell asleep. Sorry.
So Damien likes it.
Yes.
Chris remaining silent.
Listen, it's okay. At best, it's okay. It's not Mass Effect. The nostalgia, that carryover of nostalgia from 1 through 3 is not for me in Andromeda. I have about, I don't know, 6 hours of gameplay in. Apparently it gets good about hour 12. I don't know if I have 6 more hours in me to play it. I have 2 other games in Horizon Zero Dawn and in Breath of the Wild, which are more interesting, at least to me right now. And it's not even the graphics. The graphics aside, like, I don't give a rat's about the graphics, that, you know, that it's an open world game. It's just the storyline is not that interesting for the first, at least for this first 6 hours that I'm watching it, it's not interesting at all. So if it gets better at hour 12, maybe in the summertime when I don't have a lot going on, I might continue that. But at this point, I don't have 10 to 12 hours to figure out if a game's good. There's so many other things to play. There really is.
What I did play this week and what I did find really good was Age of Triumph.
Oh, hell yeah.
Drop. The new Crota raid was surprisingly tough. And besides the 2 challenge encounters, every encounter was different in the raid. Because I thought just the 2 challenge encounters are going to be different, but no. Every encounter in the Crota raid was different.
What's different about the lamps?
The wizards at the end.
Nope. I was able to solo the lamps, no problem.
So you're telling me prior to this there was wizards at the end?
I'd never seen any wizards when I got up there either. Yeah,
well,
no wizards.
The wizard spawn is random. That is a random spawn right now in it, but that could easily be changed to where it's a constant.
Oh, it was 100% of the time we did it. And then we're like, what are these wizards coming out of nowhere? And they were, okay.
I had wizards spawn from the moon on mine.
Okay, Dinklage.
From the moon.
Well, the bridge encounter had swords for everyone at the other end of the bridge that spawn at the end after 5 people are across. And then you have to kill adds with the swords to light up Crota offering lamps to open the door.
That's why I couldn't finish it. Okay.
Huh?
Because you're still able to jump the bridge as well, just like you was before.
Yeah. Did you not play the challenge mode?
No, I actually haven't gone past the bridge.
Okay.
Part. I haven't gone into Uruk because I just soloed the lamps and then I soloed the bridge jump, got on the other side of the bridge, and I was waiting for the ogres to finally come, but I didn't know about the sword and all that stuff to kill things, to get the offering.
Yeah, once 5 people get across, some swords appear, and then not everybody has to grab one, but you have to kill a certain number of adds with swords, and the lamp, there's like 8 lamps that light up, and when the last lamp lights up, the door opens.
Okay.
So that was a different encounter. For challenge mode, you have basically 2 minutes and 18 seconds from when you start the fight to kill her with a sword that you need to kill every single ad in that room with more and more spawning
before you kill her.
And you get the sword, you can kill her in one swipe. And then for Crota, the big difference was that Oversoul doesn't spawn when somebody dies, but it does spawn every time you do every time Crota gets up after he kneels. So every time he gets up, the Oversoul spawns, and you have to work on it. So if you're trying to do multiple hits with the same sword carrier, you got to do the damage to the Oversoul as well. So you can drop Crota with rockets, but everybody, all the other 5 members, better be sniping that that Oversoul to take it down.
Pro tip: Golden Gun with Celestial Nighthawk will kill the Oversoul with 1 shot. Also, 2 shots from Sleeper, maybe 3, will also kill the Oversoul.
And so just those additions in Crota for me have made me really want to see what other raids, especially Vault of Glass, bring, because I'm really curious if what each encounter change is going to be different in that one.
They did add the 7th chest into Vault of Glass.
Correct. Nice.
Yep. And it's in that hidden place underneath the first chest.
The back way to get to the bottom.
I know I've hopped back into Destiny. That's a big thing for me. Like I've been away for a while. My oldest has got back into it, and he's, you know, one of his favorite games. I've been trying to play with my middle son, but my middle son, every time he'd hop in to a match with me, he's like, "Oh, I'm getting an invite. I'm getting an invite." So he has done the challenge mode already. He just did it earlier today. They crashed their heads against it against Crota for a while last couple days, but today he got through with his YouTube group. He's been thoroughly enjoying it and kicking ass, taking names. My oldest is going up in light level and now past me. So he's ready. I got to get caught back up.
Nice.
It is also possible to one sword.
Wait, burn. What?
Yeah, so.
Yeah, at 390 light.
Yep.
One sword runner, one sword.
You can take them down with one sword. You have to do three sword hit phases. You can take them down. Yep. In one sword, but it's very timing specific. But that just kind of removes multiple sword runners if you can juggle the oversoul and the damage to him successfully enough. But speaking of more Destiny stuff, we're actually going to have to change segments and go into a hype train to continue talking about Destiny. We can't just transition right into the next Destiny thing we need to talk about. We need to go into the hype train. Continuing the Destiny talk. We got this little thing from Deej, the last reveal trailer, that was going to be their last Age of Triumph. We didn't know if they were going to just talk about different things in the game from then on, but then all of this Destiny 2, the poster, the image, and then they're just bam, 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 and they hit us with a hype, a teaser trailer.
That's what we did. Yeah, talking about the teaser trailer first. Good. That, okay, it goes in, and you see, You hear Nathan Fillion's voice, and then you see Cade 6. It's like the sipping of stuff. You know, if you're going into like the Loris factor.
No. Oh, he never took a drink. You never see him take a sip. He pours the glass, but he just sits there and plays with it.
Everything is
just like a true bourbon drinker.
Well, the thing is, he doesn't have a stomach, so he can't drink. But the lore behind Cade 6 is
it could be motor oil.
But the thing is
it could be lubricant,
okay, hydraulic. But the lore, and this is where I'm excited because this means we're going to see more lore casts like Destiny Ghost Stories, things like that, that are going to go into this. They're going to pick this apart because it goes into part. Cade 6 at some point was human. That's his. A lot of the stuff he talks about, how much of it's memory, but that's a whole another thing of picking apart the teaser trailer. How awesome was it to hear Cade 6 just do his stick while next to the Broombot?
The Broombot, that was great because that was something straight for Destiny fans, because even someone who just casually plays Destiny won't know anything about the sweeper bot in there.
Well, the thing about the sweeper bot that was pretty funny to me was the fact that you didn't realize he was talking to the sweeper bot until they pulled back and did a pan, and then you're like, oh, there's nobody else there. And so like anybody who walks around the tower, you know what I mean? You see them there and you're like, oh, well, they're not going to talk back, dude. And and the funny part about it was the bot wasn't even paying attention to him. So he was basically talking to no one. I thought it was a little more interesting. As a side note, if you're a Destiny Ghost Stories fan, I know Gabble Ratchet and his boy came out with a new episode recently, like literally recently, right after he was on our show. So brand new episode's out. If you're interested in listening to, definitely worth it.
So that's the answer to the question that was asked on this show by his co-host X-Ray. When is our next episode?
It was really cool. I just wanted to plug it because it was really good. And those guys are awesome to listen to, especially with new lore stuff that's going to be coming out.
So after the teaser trailer, we get the full cinematic reveal drop today, Thursday, the 30th of March.
Savala.
What did you guys think of that?
Yes, are you Savala or are you Cade?
I'm Cade. I've in any game that I've had an opportunity to roleplay at L, I've always been the I've
Gary
I've always
Gill?
Been more of the rogue, and that's totally Cade. I am backing Cade fully. If there's two factions behind this, I'm going for Cade.
If you're in the Marvel Universe, you are Thor or you are Deadpool. So, because that's the speeches that you got, because Zavala's speech was like Thor, right. And Cade's was like Deadpool. So, like, that's kind of the
I can totally
that's
see that,
kind
though.
Of the characteristics. You know, it was almost like, you know, let's fight for the warriors, and you know, we are strong. And that was Zavala's, and then Cade's was just like, well, I did this for me. I mean, and when he has that gun and he's just six shooting it. Like off the hip, it's awesome.
I shot that guy in the face.
Guy in that case, it was so good. And I know that they used Deadpool as an inspiration. I mean, it was very obvious. But man, did Fillion like the way he portrayed the character in his voice? It came off as kind of snarky, and it was, you know, like I'm all about me, and that's kind of how Cade is. So to be able to do that in this trailer. It really gave you a sense of story, which is what Destiny needed to do in this trailer. Bungie needed to hit story in this thing. They needed you to have feelings. And the other thing is they gave you a reason why you have none of your
I know, and it looks perfect. It all, like, I'm totally.
It is all blown up.
I was like.
Mm-hmm. You're all your weapons, they're gone. You know.
And they talk about it, too.
Yeah.
He specifically says, they took your stuff.
They took my stuff.
All up and your stuff, but really my stuff. And that's really you really as the gamers. My stuff.
All gone.
My stuff.
They took my stuff. But there's their out. So this is the revamp. This is how we change everything. And then when they went to the cutscene of the humans where they were grabbing the kid and they were lifting up, and then you saw one of the – I think it was a hunter that was there. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it was a warlock. But in any case, it gives you that feel like, okay, they're going to tell a story here. Mm-hmm. So everything that everybody was complaining about in the original Destiny is going to be in this game, at least as far as the story is concerned, or at least they're making that a focus.
Well, right. And they're using the story to tell some of the mechanic elements they had to change. They let that out right away. I liked the cadence of these reveals, where it's things like Red Dead Redemption, we have a poster and nothing else. This was like poster leak, image leak shortly thereafter, our image quote reveal shortly thereafter, leak. Teaser, trailer. It's all in a week. It just dumped it all in a week, and everybody, they just rolled this hype right on through.
And for the people, so I watched the IGN, the Fireteam chat, and I was watching their reveal and them rewind and everything. And you can start catching a lot of stuff they've talked about. So we talked about how they brought on people from Guild Wars 2. You can start to see some of this play in because they talked about how they wanted this game to have more of a feel, a lived-in feel. They wanted there to be other cities, other towns, things like this. The city is destroyed. The tower is destroyed. Those were the places we went. Well, guess what? Now there's going to be all these outcroppings of little cultures and little towns where you're going to go. You're going to see, oh, there's a village here. That needs to be protected. You're going to get quest people at these locations. They hinted at all the stuff that's been talked about in the past and rumored about, all in the stuff, straight down to customization options. They got some of the agents, you know, they purposely had a lot of the faces exposed, showing various scar tissues, various markings that we don't have access to yet. Yes, beards. Yes, beards. Yes. You know, just the keying in on the fact that you are going to be able to customize your individual yourself more. It strings true. The armor designs and stuff in this are very reminiscent of some of the more, it's more, a lot of the armor looked more medieval. Still while functional, but it looked like it had the joints and stuff of like you'd see like the knight armor and then some more like more tactical version with the warlock's attire. If you saw it, it wasn't so frilly and fancy. Yes, it's covered in dirt stuff, but it was more, everything seemed more focused towards we're at war. This is, you know, we are fighting. Everything needs to be tactically oriented. And it just
Deej came out with a roadmap, so we know that May 18th they're going to actually have gameplay, and then at E3 they're going to drop a beta in June. Which, if I had to guess, I would say either right after E3 or at E3. PS beta drops
within 2 weeks.
Beta drops now. Okay, people can start playing, and then in September on the 8th, which is that a, is that the exact day, September 8th? It would be the, yeah, the exact day September that the original Destiny release date, release date, which makes sense. Euro, I think, is September 5. They always usually drop like 3 days earlier than the US dates do. But so you have a roadmap, you have an idea. And then not only do they talk about that, they talk about the fact that they're going to have season passes already for two different season passes. Do we want to talk about the symbols that are shown on the season passes?
The two DLCs, the first two DLCs, the first one looks like it's something to do with Osiris, and the second one looks like it has something to do with the Warmind.
It's the Warmind faction. That's their faction emblem. I'm just...
So that came out. Then we got the deluxe edition, which runs roughly about $99. Then you got the super duper, here's the kitchen sink version, which is $249.
With the bag that has the USB charger with a solar panel.
I want to have a discussion, and this is not throwing salt. And I know Cajun and I had a quick discussion about this in the Discord. I think the people that are going to have the most defense to this are going to be the PC users, not even the Xbox users. But the fact that exclusives are going to be given to PS owners, so whether that's early access to the beta, potential alpha, or apparently any type of extended, we'll just say what we know in Destiny 1, which would happen to be strike missions or exclusive. How about Hawkmoon? Which, by the way, if you're an Xbox One owner and you didn't play Hawkmoon for the first 6 months that it was a badass gun in multiplayer, and then it got nerfed by the time you actually got the gun, things like that occur, right? And so Xbox players get angry. PC Master Race players will get angrier. So, like, I wonder how Bungie is going to deal with those things moving forward. I mean, I have both consoles, so I get to really have a choice. For those people who don't, there becomes this kind of the haves and the have-nots, which, you know, is happens in all walks of life, and we talked about that. But how do you feel as an Xbox owner, or what do you think it's going to be like for a PC owner?
And I can only speak from my perspective, because of my perspective, if I look at my neighbor's house across the way and I say, oh, when did he get a Porsche? I like Porsches. Those are great cars. I want one. If I constantly look at that all the time, then I'm going to be salty. I'm going to be jealous. If I look at my Volkswagen, I'm like, man, my Volkswagen's doing great. I like my car. It's getting me what I need to do. I'm going to be fine. It's the people who are looking across the aisle and looking at the other stuff and then being jealous about it. They're going to be the ones that are going to be green with it. I mean, that's going to overtake them. And there's a lot of people in our gaming community that are like that. And if that's their personality, where they're constantly envious of people who have more or to get something else, and they want to be on even playing field, then those people are going to have issues with it. And for me, like, that's something I'm not going to have an issue with. And I know a lot of people in Uprising are going to have an issue with, but there are going to be some that will pop out with it as well that come up, because it's come up in the past as well. And I think it's something that across the board, games across two systems, we're going to be seeing more and more of that with these two system wars, that this gets an exclusive this or an early that or a later this. So it's going to be pretty consistent, and it's just going to be the nature of life. And right now, if you're on the Xbox side, you're getting the shorter end of that stick, but only if you're looking at the stick somebody else has.
I completely agree. The concern that I had, and even not so much as an Xbox owner, but more so the PC aspect of it, is those guys get pretty gnarly, and they get very master race, and we own everything and have everything, and we have the best of the best. And to not be able to have early access or have certain weaponry, I think could cause a real issue, at least early on, until they get adjusted, because Xbox owners, PlayStation owners, everybody kind of knows how that goes. But some of the people that are they're trying to adopt that are new players are going to get adjusted to kind of how it works with Bungie, I suppose.
I've got no problem with the exclusive or anything like that. I think that the year long that they're saying that their PlayStation is going to get the exclusive for is overdoing it. I mean, we've had to do that the last, you know, 3 years in Destiny 1 being Xbox players and waiting for this, that, and the other to come to us finally. And by the time some of it did come to us, like Hawkmoon and things like that, they weren't as good as they were like in year one when it came to year two.
Dude, that triple. Yeah. That triple on Hawkmoon, man, was gone by the time it hit Xbox One.
Right.
And so, like,
yeah,
it's a bummer. Like, Fouts, you're right. Like, it's a bummer because you don't get to enjoy the perks of owning something while everybody else does. And again, you're not playing with, obviously you're not playing with some of the people that play on the PS4 because a lot of people don't own it on both consoles, but you're missing out on some of the cool shit. You know what I mean? Like, it's like the first, I got to own this for 6 months and it wrecked. And like, and then by the time you get it, it doesn't wreck any longer. So I don't want to belabor a point, but it's just kind of a bummer that these kind of things
happen. I would be fine with 6 months. I think the year is too long.
I agree. But on a positive note, people are getting Destiny 2. It's exciting. It has the whole community that we all came from excited again about something. I mean, you have Age of Triumph, and then immediately after you get Destiny 2, which is fantastic. The only other thing, and this is not salt, this is just kind of throwing it out. Another concern I have is if this game is not the same as Destiny. If it's made differently or if it plays differently, people love the story and everybody's excited because we don't know what gameplay looks like. But man, if gameplay doesn't feel like Destiny, how is everybody going to react? I think that's the other thing that I hope it isn't just a rerun of Destiny and we throw a few more things with story on it. I hope it's something different. I actually hope they kind of go in a different direction. Maybe they'll lose players, maybe they'll gain more players, but I hope they try something.
Yeah, and I think because of the fact, like, the reason we're losing our loot is not because they wrote a story about it. They wrote a story about it because they had to reset a lot of the base of this game. The reason we don't have access to all the other worlds we're going to get is because they had to start from scratch with some of it. But I think a lot of how the game plays and how the weapons feel is going to be very similar because they've tweaked that ad nauseum. They tweaked that to make sure everything was just right. And all of that's going to come with it. The types of weapons are going to be the exact same at launch. I seriously doubt they're going to have a completely different type weapon type tree come out there. They're going to be the exact same type. They might add one or two more, but those and how they balance between them are going to be the exact ranges and how the different archetypes are going to be, I think, exactly the same because they spent too much time balancing that. How we move is going to be the same. I think most of this change we're going to see is going to be back in how they develop it. And that's something we're not going to experience as players. The other changes that we could experience were stuff you talked about, Chris, and I would want to see too, is how they tell their story. If they continue to advance a story that's in-game and not in the grimoire, I think for me that's far, far better. I love the guys that Ghost Stories and what the lore podcast do, but I like my lore in-game as well.
Okay, now what do you guys think we're going to get for new abilities? Do you think our subclasses are going to change, or do you think they're going to stay the same, or do you think they're just going to rework
them? I think they're going to add a whole new class. I think they're gonna. You're gonna have a warlock. You're gonna have a titan. You're gonna have a hunter, and then you're gonna have something else. I think they're gonna add one more thing, and then I think they might add one more subclass to that, and then obviously weaponry. But they have to change it up some way. They can't just have three subclasses and then call it that. So I really feel like they're gonna add at least one more thing, but I could be wrong.
I think that they're gonna either. I believe there's gonna be some type of, because here's the thing we didn't talk about that was in the trailer. And it's another thing that they talked about is that they want to bring fauna and more, you know, they want to bring more things into the world. We see that that the Cabal are using beasts. They have like canine units, hellhounds. They have animals. That was another thing that they talked about. They want the world to feel lived in. They want there to be animals to fight. Right. So with that, the Cabal have them. And then the other races have always somewhat mirrored the Guardians, correct? I think we're going to have a druid class of some sort. I think we're going to have a guardian, because if you remember, one of the first things Destiny showed that they wanted to have was these pets. They showed these pets that the Guardians had, these type of like cat-like creatures that were to fight alongside your guardian. I think that they're going to use this Destiny 2 as a means to bring back in some of the content that they had to cut from Destiny 1. And I think that we're going to have some type of druid class that's going to have pets that's going to help fight alongside them.
If they even go that route, if they consider that's a major gameplay change in terms of how you pursue engagements, how you plan engagements besides your three fire team members or six fire team members.
You use it as a super. Your super is you summon your pet.
Yeah, but then that pet has autonomy. all the other supers, you control where it shoots. Now, if you summon a pet, the pet has autonomy, and then you don't have full control over it. So I think that you might, in this one, if they did go that route, it would be probably a mission or two where you'd have that as something would help you in a mission as a test to see how players like it and how it plays before actually making an entire subclass tree that has
having hits. It in as a DLC.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I just don't see it being right out the way making a change that big into how you approach engagements without fully testing it to the community, because right now they have something that works in terms of how we approach engagements. I don't see them changing it right out the gate, but maybe testing it with a few strikes, but not right out the gate. You're talking about a different subclass. I did see Ikora punch with lightning in the trailer.
Tickle Fingers. Tickle Fingers. Tickle Fingers exists.
Yes. So we will have that show that one of the subclasses is coming back. So that kind of helps on that. But I always thought Ikora wasn't a Stormcaller. So maybe there's something in that lore wise. But okay. Just pointing that out. Okay. I'm good.
I hope we're not running into Mass Effect again where you can be any subclass that you want at all times. You can just flip
between. Oh. I gotcha. I get what you're saying.
Yeah, one character can be Hunter, Titan, or Warlock in any of the subclasses. Yeah, you have nine options.
Yep. Or even if you're a Warlock and you can be any of the options on the fly. So like on the fly, you can just flip and have any of the weaponry from any of the subclasses on the fly, which would make that would be too easy. Mm-hmm. Like it would start to change. It would change the way the game.
The meta would be changed. Completely
right.
Yeah, because you'd have to, like, you go into a match and you're like, okay, Stormcaller, okay, and you're like,
no, Stormcaller melee, solar grenades.
Yep, that's what I'm saying. Like, you could just immediately start changing the game up very quickly if you did it that way. So
yeah,
there'd be one there'd be one master meta.
Yep,
that would just dominate.
All right, going next, we got Justice League full trailer.
Hmm. We got that full trailer, man. We got to see what Zack Snyder's doing with his bag of toys. And with his bag of toys, it just enhanced my concern. My concern previously was...
I'm more nervous now than I was before.
My concern was a lack of a coherent plot and Zack Snyder's desire to generate great scenes. And all we saw was great scenes.
We know what they're doing. They're going after the others. That's such a trope line. The others. Come on. Are we serious with that? Like, freaking just... I was so disappointed when I watched this trailer. Like, I watched it, and I was really excited. I'm like, they are going to come out full guns. And it was like, okay, so we rehash all four of the characters. That's great. Then we see who the major bad is. Nope, just called the others. So what are we doing here? Like, and it was just a lot of nothing. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of nothing.
There's a lot of green screens, what it was.
Well, well, that's the thing is, Zack Snyder, look at 300. Look what he's known for. He's known for green screen.
Yeah, I know, but that doesn't mean it's
good. No, yeah. See, 300 and those ones, it worked for the style that it was filmed in. I expected it to that.
They filmed it in one spot.
Exactly.
They filmed 300 in one spot.
So it worked.
They didn't need practical effects. They could put a few rocks in the ground, throw the mountains up in the background, and it works. This has a variety of scenes in locales, and... not even the ground underneath them is real. And you can tell everywhere is just green screen floor, walls, and ceiling. Everywhere is green screen.
The only thing that I liked about that trailer... Watchmen. The only thing I liked about the trailer was the Jim Gordon line where it says, it's nice to see you're playing well with others again. So so it meant two things to me. One, he was either talking... The first thing I thought he was talking about was Superman. Because he didn't play well with Superman. So it's nice to see he's playing well with others again.
I like that, yeah.
So I took it that way. The second thing I took was Jason Todd, and I thought, so maybe we can bring Robin into the mix, which then I thought that was really cool. And if they're smart, and I pray that they are smart, that they bring Robin or another character in at the tail end of this and just give you a little quick teaser like a Spider-Man, like 30 minutes, 20 minutes, something, please.
Well... it would be whatever, because he has a dead Robin in his past. We saw that in BVS where he had that he had that suit with the Riddler spray paint on it.
Yep.
And so he has a dead Robin in his past. So it would have to be a different Robin, whichever Robin that was as a character real name, human name, it would be a different one. It would probably have to tell that story as to getting a new one in there.
And by Riddler, yeah, you meant Joker.
Yes.
Was it Joker? But it was Joker. It was Joker.
Yeah, the ha 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 ha.
Yeah, it was Joker because it said ha 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 ha.
Oh, okay.
Jokes on you.
Yeah, it was the death. It was the death of Robin. But like, and so the Jason Todd thing I thought was apropos when he said you play with well with others again because maybe he was talking about Jason, and so I thought that was interesting. So, but at least it leads you to believe they're going to try to extend the story past whatever this is and outside of it.
I did like, you know, I'm. They're giving Cyborg, they gave Cyborg a little bit more, like, he looks like a character that I could actually get, that I could actually enjoy. And same with Aquaman. Aquaman was so, they did a lot, but they did, it felt more like they were focusing on Aquaman in the trailer. And it's like they're pushing everything towards him. And that I found, you know.
As the humor. Yeah. He's gonna be the humor focus on this one.
But the scene with Cyborg, did it not look wonky to everybody else? Because it really looked shit. It looked shitty. Like it really looked bad. Because
you see the face. Like, it takes you out of it because you got a human face and then you got the CGI. Now, the trailers never – the problem with trailers is typically the trailer CGI never is equivalent to what's in the film. But at the same time, if this is your guns blazing trailer, say, hey, look at me, you think that you would have – you wouldn't come out with subpar on a character that's supposed to be a big part of the film.
Now this is early too, because this is basically we need to come out with something, because normally the trailer blitz starts happening about 3 months before the movie comes out. But Justice League desperately needs to show something because they haven't shown anything since San Diego Comic-Con of any substance. And now with all of these Marvel movies coming out, they have to show something. So this is why they're showing it.
Which is surprising they're going with Justice League trailer now and not 3 months before, instead of like doubling down on Wonder Woman and doing more on the Wonder Woman side. One thing that I picked up right away and we always knew was a flaw of DC rushing it was the characters didn't get backstory. Looks like they're going to do backstories on at least Cyborg and Flash. Yeah. And that's going to eat up a lot of screen time if you're going to do Cyborg's history. Unless they
just blow by it real fast.
Exactly. So that eliminates a lot of main storytelling in this one when you don't have the setup movies that Marvel had. You don't have Cyborg's movie to tell his story, and you try to cram it into a Justice League movie to tell his backstory instead of him coming in right away. And that's another cause of concern right there, is trying to cram in backstory into this instead of bringing them in and not telling their backstory and then saving that for their solo movies to tell it as a prequel. And
the problem is, Cajun, is you don't care for the characters unless you get the backstory. Yeah. So they feel the necessity. You know what I think they're going to do is to your point, I think they're going to have the solo movies and basically tell these backstories, but you're going to get a crappy 10 to 15 minute version. So half an hour of the movie is going to be wasted on telling the backstories of two characters that, you know, people don't really know a lot about. And if you saw the Flash character in the preview, which, by the way, you didn't see much of, like, they talked about Aquaman and they gave the big long speech, and then they talked about Cyborg and gave the big long speech, and then it says about the Flash to me that there's not much of a backstory because they went and retold the same exact trailer that you saw with Batman and him with the blade. Same thing all over again. And you saw a quick, like, less than 8 second snippet of him flashing through something. And it was like, man, his character doesn't look that strong at all.
Well, they do show him visiting his dad in jail. So they're going to continue.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They're going to tell that Flash story, at least. They're going to keep that consistent where his dad's in jail and raised by other people most likely. But yeah, they didn't give him much time, but I think they know that character is pretty charismatic. They needed to prove that Aquaman's going to be charismatic. Right now, Cyborg's just going to be a cyborg, but we know that, like, it looks like, because it's Cyborg's dad whose house that Mother Box is in, that the Parademon is comes around the corner of or comes out of. And we also see Cyborg hoarding something that looks like another Mother Box. So, and he is also a Mother Box because we actually saw that for sure in the
Batman vs. Superman
BBS movie. in the BVS movie, we saw his dad create him and with a mother box, like a mother box, go ahead and formed into him. So that his dad is going to be and him are going to be very central to the villains getting access to this world and their mistake. So I think his character is going to have a lot less levity and his is going to be more serious just because of that. So
because he's basically is what the villains are, so to speak.
Yeah, because he's not all biomechanical stuff created from scratch. He's definitely was space alien magic is what he's mostly made out of. But this movie is going to tell me a big thing. If this movie flops critically in terms of its reception, Zack Snyder for me would be Michael Bay 2.0. In that Michael Bay blows stuff up, Zack Snyder does these amazing scenes with no story tons of green screen. So he's on thin ice with me. And why is Batman on horseback? He has a million ships and helicopters and he's a billionaire. Why is he riding on horse?
Because he's a billionaire and he can. That's why.
That is a poor.
Just like, what's your superpower?
Yeah.
I'm rich.
He's lacking proper transportation. I'm concerned.
When he asked that question, didn't nobody else be like, I'm rich, bitch?
Yes, exactly.
That's exactly what I heard.
Not for me, I'm Ross Perot.
I'm rich, bitch. Now, talking about trailers that we had a lot to say about where it was negative, for me personally, Spider-Man Homecoming hit on all cylinders. When I saw that trailer, I'm like, yes, this is amazing. This is what I wanted out of the Justice League trailer.
Yes, we basically just got a cadre of July trailers. We've got four trailers for stuff dropping in July. Spider-Man's the first one, and yes, it did all of the awesome. I'm super excited for this.
There's not only a villain, there's a sub-villain, which you got like a really
quick... Your mini-boss to take on the big boss.
A picture, real quick. And then you get all the feels of Michael Keaton again. I'm like, ooh, Batman. I'm like, because he had just a couple of lines, and they showed his face, and all I saw was, "You want to dance? Let's dance." Like, you know, that's what I got. And so I'm like, yes. I didn't care for seeing as much Iron Man as I saw. I was really flustered because this gives me, and I said this on Twitter, the damsel in distress crap trope that I don't want to see. I don't need Spider-Man desperately needing Iron Man at every turn just so he can become a character. So I hope that they don't go that route with this. I hope that we just caught some really clips, the clips that were cut together in such a way that it made it look like that. But it's like, I'm going to take, you know what? You're a naughty boy. I'm going to take away your suit. It's really
the best meme out there. The best meme out there, though, was really, and then it shows Robert. You're no nothing without your suit, and then it shows Robert Downey Jr. going with his mouth dropped open and all his suits behind him. I was like,
because well, that does continue the theme. I like that meme, but I was thinking more about it. So nothing without your suit was Robert Downey Jr. or Tony Stark's entire reasoning for destroying all his suits at the end of Iron Man 3.
True.
So he had to be something without his suit to earn the suits in the future. Okay. So that's sort of his learning curve. But I do hope the tables turn on Tony Stark because he's basically the cause for villains in quite a few Marvel movies.
That's what I was going to say.
He's generated a ton of villains.
He will be in this one too.
Well, they basically go into Stark Enterprise, the old version of Stark Enterprises, and that's
Avengers
how...
Avengers Tower.
That's how he's able to get the suit. Like, they go in, they steal his technology, and then that's how Vulture is able. Yeah, Vulture has the suit. So they're going.
But the thing is that he's supposedly Michael Keaton's character supposedly has got most of his wealth from the incident cleanup. So he's cleaned up all this space technology, this alien technology, right? So if he's my thought is. His suit is probably based off Iron Man technology, but what it is he probably needed an AI. He probably had everything else he needed, all the electronics, all that stuff, but what he probably didn't have, it was an AI. My guess is that he went in and he copied some form of AI from the Avenger Tower to be able to utilize in his own Iron Man, Vulture suit.
I'm wondering how much is former Iron Man suits. Like even Iron Man 3, when he blew up all those suits, did he go clean up all those suits?
Yeah.
Because we see some of his henchmen holding an Iron Man hand as a gun in there, and that's what they shoot. So how much is that technology, or is it, could it be mixed with the invasion technology from the aliens?
Yeah.
So could it?
It could be, but if you watch that promo and you watch him, the suit floats down almost like Tony Stark's suit, and he stands there, and the suit wraps around him. So it's almost just like the Iron Man suit. Where, like it basically, it was very Iron Man on the feel. The other thing that I thought was really cool was the Spider-Man suit does the same exact thing. So it's loose. He clicks the button. It tightens on him. And then also the eyes, because he talks about it in the previous movie where his sight is a little bit different and it's highly sensitive. You watch the eyes click. It's like snap, snap. And then they're able to help him see a lot clearer, which I think is interesting because when he has to go to his pretty much trashy suit, whatever that is, the thing that has like a red hood and some goggles on it.
His workout suit.
He has to. It's interesting how he has to do that. He has the web slingers, which we talked about, are now they're not part of him. They're actually the cartridges. They're
his
like,
invention.
They're an invention. And also, how about the spider that jumps off of his suit and is now like a flying spider that he can
use? A drone,
which is badass. That's actually in the Spider-Man comics, which, by the way, which is kind of a callback to Spidey.
The other thing is that his suit that he has to wear after his suit's taken away is a callback to the comics back when Peter Parker was cloned and he wasn't aware of himself. He thought that he was not aware that he himself was the real Peter Parker. He started to question it, and it was it wasn't until he actually went by the fact he called himself the Scarlet Spider. And what I'm interested in is he, because of him having his suit taken away and the people know him as Spider-Man, as that particular suit, do you think that this new suit that he has to create, this, like, you know, that looks like the Scarlet Spider suit, do you think maybe he'll go by the Scarlet Spider until he gets the Spider-Man suit back? That would be kind of a cool story to change.
It would be cool. He's got a couple of one-liners in this, which are pretty awesome. One where his buddy was like, so, you know, can you create your own spiders? He's like, no. Like, you know what I mean? Or is there a clone of spiders? He's like, no. And then when he
command an army of spiders?
And then he shows – when they show this, the Captain. First of all, Chris Evans – yeah, when Chris Evans did this, it has to be during Avengers. It has to be like a quick snippet of him while he's in the costume, because it wasn't during the Homecoming movie.
No.
And so he was like – yeah, he's like, yeah, I stole his shield. And I'm like, oh, that's really cool. And the YouTube line I thought was really apropos because they're trying to hit a younger audience, because he was like, you're the Spider-Man that's on YouTube. Yeah, like that's
– instead of the newspaper, he's from YouTube.
And then to hit us, they say, and just be a friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. It's like, oh, and that hits us and our nostalgia feels.
Right.
You know? Yep. So all in all, I thought I thought it was really good. I thought the trailer was really good for Spider-Man Homecoming. I thought it was a bit long. I thought it actually told more of the story that I wanted to know. I thought it gave a little bit too much information. It was really close for me. Like just enough, but I can see somebody who was like, wow, I know the whole entire story already just based upon that trailer. So I can understand where somebody, and I've heard a few friends of mine say that, like, wow, that gave way too much information. So, but I really liked it.
Did you guys read the article? I'm pretty sure I've seen an article. I'll probably cut this out if I'm wrong. But anyways, that Sony is questioning the Spider-Man universe with Marvel.
Yeah, I read that.
I didn't hallucinate it.
Past Spider-Man 2.
Yep. And they can question it all they want, but they lost the consumer cred to be able to do good Spider-Man movies. So,
yeah, they had 5 chances and they screwed it up.
The
first Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire wasn't that bad.
The first one was good. Second one was good. The first two were good, especially if you look back with the nostalgia goggles onto the technology and how stories were being told back then versus how they are now. They were good movies.
Yeah.
I know I thoroughly loved them. It's Spider-Man 3 and Tobey Maguire's faces and Topher Grace's, there were some body issues there, but no.
Well, that's where they ruined Venom and totally offended me for an extended period of time. So
well, that's what we see from Sony. We'll get to see from Sony if the Venom movie's good, And that would be if they get our consumer credit to do more Spider-Man besides past two. And if they're right.
If they do what they say they're going to do, if they're going to make it an action horror film, which when you talk about a Marvel movie being a horror film, look at the smile on Damian's face right now when you say the word horror film and Venom. It's like, really? Okay, now you have me intrigued. Like, how are you going to turn this? Sorry, that's a hype train conversation. But if they're able to do that with that character, that means that they can transition a lot of other characters in similar fashion.
All right. So the week after the first week of July comes out the next big movie we saw the trailer for, War for the Planet of the Apes. This comes out July 14th. We got full trailer number 2 for it, and it told the story in a little different way. It told a little bit of a little pacifism there with Caesar. Caesar's like, I'm a pacifist. That's the theme of this. But he's pacifist, and he's pushed to the point of aggression. And he's pushed. Yep. I wasn't going to fight.
I thought it was kind of cool how they told the story in the sense that they talked about it from Caesar's point of view when the humans were speaking to him. You know, boy, he's really intelligent. Oh, he's really smart for a monkey. Like, and they kept talking about that and basically playing down their race. It was almost a beating down of the apes as a race. And when you see it in the future, or when it, you know, clicks up to now, he says to them, you know, you realize they're treating you like slaves, that if they could get rid of you, they would. And so that's the uprising. It's the uprising of the apes at this point. It's like, okay, well, that's where the war's coming. It's, you know, don't be treated like a slave any longer. Be treated like a person, or be treated like, you know, an equal. And so then you see, you know, all hell
breaks loose. It looks like they have a gorilla that's, you know, they got the one of the ones that's assisting the humans is a gorilla. And there's going to be that.
Right.
Yes.
It's going to be interesting because
they'll have a few of them.
Yeah.
They have a few of them that will be the apes that were converted to help out the humans. And I think that will be a major part that, to Chris's point, saying that as sort of, you're better than this. You deserve more. And these apes have just been beaten down mentally, being told they're lesser for so long, and they seem mentally trapped in this scenario and abused that they won't be able to get out of it. And then Caesar, once he's trapped, I see that him convincing him from the inside that they're bigger, better, and get out.
I was disappointed watching Woody Harrelson in this. I really was. I wasn't really interested in his character. Like, I was interested in the apes. I was interested in the other stuff, but maybe it's just my bias against Woody Harrelson. I'm not a big Woody Harrelson fan to begin with. But I just didn't. I just thought it was really cheesy, and I thought the whole machine gun thing in the, you know, on the rope was really poorly done. Like, it just came off really bad. Maybe it was just how they cut the scene. So I guess I'll determine that when I watch it. But other than that, I thought it was very emotional. Like, it drew me in right away, and I thought the old man who was like the original was talking. The original ape was talking about, like, you know, the humans came and this is what we said and then this is what we did. I thought that was really awesome because you could see where that character was unintelligent and how intelligent Caesar is and how it's progressed. So I thought that was really cool.
Yep. And I share your concern with Woody Harrelson on this one because I don't know if this portrayal of his character is going to be something that's going to be entertaining. I think everything else in the movie is good. When I see his scenes, I'm not sure I fully get it, what he's trying to do there. So I'm concerned about his character being a distraction in terms of the quality of it. I've liked him in other stuff, but I'm not 100% sold on this. So I agree with you there on that.
From what I gather, it's going to be him versus Caesar. It's just going to be that's what the whole story is about, is it's Woody Harrelson's character versus Caesar, and they're at war. They are the two generals. They are the ones pushing each side to go kill the other side, and that is what it's all about.
If that's the case, it has my concern even higher, see, then, because I really didn't care for that.
But you see, the other thing is that you can see that it looks like the apes have adopted some human children, because there's like at least two or three scenes where you see multiple children that are being raised by apes.
Ooh, yeah. That's going to be, because you have apes that are helping humans, and then humans that are living with apes. That'll be an interesting dynamic to see as well. Mm-hmm.
For sure.
It's got a very tribal feeling.
Yeah, very tribal. 2 days after this, Game of Thrones is going to start its new season. And we just got a teaser trailer of how did you describe them walking, Chris?
They were walking to the bathroom with a self-cam. That's basically what it was. And they were all sitting on the pot. Yeah. They were like, let's walk to the bathroom and let's go sit on our crapper. All of them did it. One of them happened to be in Westeros, which gave us a clue. There was a big clue in that. It, honestly, for me personally, it was like, oh, we're in Westeros. Oh, so this is interesting. And then the breath that was the chill breath, which I was like, oh, so that's where we're going with this. This is awesome.
Go early.
Because there's, yeah, but, well, because there's a fourth character that's involved here that they didn't talk about until the at the tail end of it. And it was just a flash scene of
the eyes.
The eyes. And that was it. So there's a fourth person coming to this table. You know what I mean?
Battle of four kings.
Yeah.
Right.
Or queens in this
two
case.
Queens, mm-hmm. Two kings. That's
two queens, two kings. But you get to see the three main
is
players.
Is this Narnia?
Yeah. You get to see the three main players, though, in this one. And I like that they focus on just those three. And I know a lot of the other ones are gone now, but there's been so much on too many characters in this. I know that's been one of the concerns from the casual fans is not knowing who everybody was, but focusing on these are our three main players. These are our three factions vying for the crown. And they have one big threat behind them all. And I like that. I like the simplicity of it. And now I can't watch the trailer, though, without picturing all of those being toilets. Thanks, Chris. But,
Here's something to bring up, which I think is really interesting, is what about if you think about it in terms of what am I bringing to the table? And like they're all walking towards the table. They're all going to have this big conversation like you're at a boardroom. What am I bringing to the table? What am I bringing to the table? What am I bringing to the table? And they're all having an argument about I have the best idea. I have the best idea. I have the best idea. And that's where all four of these people are coming to. And they're going to have this big argument. And so they're going to defend whatever it is or whatever cause it is that they have. I feel like that's kind of where it is. Whether that shows out in battle and they're going to do that aggressively or not. That's kind of where this is at. It's not a conversation. It's you
it's
know
a show
it's
of force. Yeah.
A show of force. Yeah.
Because a lot of this is more of entitlement. Like they have their beliefs, but all of them also feel they're entitled to rule Westeros at this point, I think. And well, we don't know too much
of
Jon.
Jon really? No, yeah, Jon doesn't want.
You're right. You're right.
Jon just wants to stay in the North, kill the White Walkers,
King of the North,
and just say the hell with everybody else. Just leave us alone.
He just wants to live with the wolves. I want to live with the White Wolves.
He just wants to keep his butt frozen, stay in North, and just say the hell with everybody else.
King of the North. I love Jon Snow.
Yep.
I am Team Snow Same all here. The way.
You mean Targaryen?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I know.
But the thing is the rumor was all. Well, I guess I can answer that by looking at the queen. But the rumor was that eventually Jon and Daenerys, that they wound up together, and I thought it was romantically. But and then I was thinking, oh, but they're
dragons.
Like, oh, but they're kind of the brother and sister, and I'm like, oh, well, that doesn't. In Westeros, that doesn't matter.
It's creepy, but it doesn't matter.
Jaime and Cersei.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it. I mean, in this universe, that's been pretty prevalent already. But
it's taboo.
Kings have been born from that, literally.
As a fan of Game of Thrones, so you should realize that these seasons are short. This is shortened, and they're going to be longer. So you're going to get a shortened season, and the time frame is going to go from an hour to, I believe, an hour to an hour and 40, or hour and a half to hour and 45 minutes per episode, correct?
Something like that.
So just be prepared.
That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah, just be prepared when you're watching this, that this could be almost one and a half to almost two times the size of what you're accustomed to watching when you're watching it on Sundays. I'm pretty sure you don't have a ton going on in the middle of July on a Sunday, so you should be able to prepare yourself for that. But if not, shortened season, 7 episodes, yes?
Yeah.
So it's 7 and 6 seven, or 8 se- and 7?
It's 7, seven and episodes.
7.
Okay.
7 episodes is what, yeah. So 14 hours. You're going to basically almost get the same amount of time, just in a shortened, condensed version. That's all.
And we will be covering it extensively.
Oh.
Extensively. Yeah. Extensively to the point where we could be having side podcasts just based upon this show.
Yeah, especially if they're going to be little minis.
Yeah, I'll tell you that right now. I'll tell you that right now. There's a really
yeah.
High
let us know. Send us an email. Send us a tweet. If you want us to cover Game of Thrones specific episodes in its own entirety for just a mini cast.
You think people get on Legion? people will be getting on Game of Thrones. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, and this is going to be like right after War for the Planet of the Apes too. And
it, yep.
I mean, there is just the back to back is on going on, but there's one that a lot of people smiled about that comes out the week after. Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets got a full trailer, or just dropped too.
I don't know when I saw the trailer for this, the original trailer. I want to say it was during Doctor Strange, but like I know that I saw this trailer in the theater. Mm-hmm. Or was it the Harry Potter thing, the one with the
Fantastic Beasts?
Yeah, Fantastic Beasts. That was it. It was Fantastic Beasts. It had to have been, because this thing reminded me, as soon as I saw it, I'm like, oh wow, this is Mass Effect meets The Fifth Element. Like, that's what I thought when I saw it.
This is exactly the film that the director wanted to create back when he created The Fifth Element. So that alone, I like. I mean, Fifth Element ranks up there in one of my top favorite films of all time. So for this,
Little Dallas, yes. Multipass.
Corban Dallas.
I can't wait.
This movie is beautiful, it's original, and looks awesome. And
it's green screen from here to hell and back, but it doesn't look like it does in Justice.
Yes. Correct. It also has young enough characters that they can make sequels to this film.
It's also created in a manner that it's very reminiscent of some of the other films that came out in the time of The Fifth Element. Like, we're talking about Titan A.E., the Matt Damon animated feature film. It's just everything along with it. It's like rock and roll in space. And it's just, I mean, without being Guardians of the Galaxy, but it's just,
It has a little bit of that in it. But there's definitely some of the elements of other popular shows in there. But just the overwhelming feel is just a more awesome, in-depth, original Fifth Element. And as a fan of that movie, that right there excites me enough. But seeing the characters and them focusing in on the detail they're putting into each of these characters and the originality of them, that if you're going into that much detail into the originality and how the look of these characters, then that means you're going to be in that much detail with everything else in this show, and it's just going to be on point across the board.
Oh yeah.
So I have a question, guys. So we covered a bunch of trailers that dropped this week.
Mm-hmm.
Justice League, Spider-Man, War for Planet of the Apes, and Valerian. Of those movies, which one do you think is going to be your highest rated out of 10 when you see them in theaters? Which one's going to be your favorite?
It's going to be a tie between Spider-Man and Valerian for me.
I don't think Valerian's going to rank that high. I think it looks really cool, but I don't know the story's going to be great. I would say probably War of the Planet of the Apes, Spider-Man, and then Valerian.
It's a really close between War for the Planet of the Apes and Valerian.
Yep. For me, I think it's going to be Valerian and then Spider-Man, but I think Valerian's going to stand up there pretty tall. I just trust it too much.
But I'm just worried that it's not going to pan out.
Well, the actor.
I have a lot of faith in the director and everything just because of Fifth Element. That is like one of my favorite movies of all time as well.
Yeah, but you're talking about a movie like 15 years ago too.
Right.
But
right.
the actor and actress that they picked are extremely talented as well.
But we'll see if they can pull it off, because right now the scenes we've seen in the trailers haven't shown their chops as much. We've seen a lot of the CG and the characters. We haven't seen their chops.
True.
And so
that's where I think it may fail, is that there is a metric shit ton of CG in this movie. That is the only reason I think that War for the Planet of the Apes could
be a metric ton of CG.
Yeah, but the thing of it is those right. apes,
yeah,
those
but
apes
look
are real.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Those apes are real, and yeah, it's more practical effects than CG. But
three movies to get that right.
Yeah, Valerian, I think, could, because of the time spent, I think it's going to have Avatar tier CG, where it's just going to be so clean and on point that you won't even be able to tell it's CG. While some other stuff we talked about CG earlier is going to be pretty dang obvious. That's like, ugh, that's not even. That's not even.
My concern about Valerian is the storyline. I know it was a book. Converting that book to a movie. Conversions are always difficult, And also, is the CG going to outweigh the storyline?
All right. Next up, we got Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales. Disney did a featurette, and they kind of, I'm going to say that there is a spoiler that could be a potential spoiler here. But so if you want, fast forward a couple minutes. However, what we're talking about is Disney kind of outed who the young actor from Gods of Egypt character, played by Brenton Thwaites, originally just known as Henry. He's the young colonial soldier you see in the, when Javier Bardem in the very first preview says, "Do you know this pirate?" Well, what we find out is his last name is Turner. He is Will Turner's son. Now, when you watch the preview and you see Johnny Depp kind of like interacting with him and stuff, we now kind of get this idea that's going to change up the storyline, because you see, we've seen flashes of Will Turner coming back and he looks pissed. Well, if you know that your son is being kind of mentored by Johnny Depp, you might be a little frustrated if your son's being mentored by a pirate that kind of Jack Sparrow. So it's definitely going to create...
Be a present dad. Stop letting Johnny Depp mentor your kids. Be a present dad.
So it's just it was just a little thing that they released that they were okay with, and it was, you know, a lot of people have been talking about. It was already a rumor a lot of us had thought about, kind of figured that they're going to play into. And so it's cool to know that that's a thing. And I'm interested to see now how that story is going to develop between, you know, Will, Jack, and Henry.
I still won't see it. Yeah.
When I was at Disneyland, they were, and you go through Pirates of the Caribbean, the entire time you're going through it, you hear this ghostly sound of "Dead Men Tell No Tales." So there are at Disneyland. They've been.
They programmed your brain. They programmed your brain to
like it. Yeah. So speaking of sequels, officially Santa Clarita Diet gets announced.
For sequel. How they did it though? It's they're coming back for seconds.
I like it, even though the show didn't catch me. I like when you put that the style and how you announce your number twos. Speaking of number twos and Chris's porcelain thrones.
Yeah, Ralph.
Ralph breaks the internet with Wreck-It Ralph 2. So Wreck-It Ralph's now going to hop out of video games and go to the internet?
Yeah, that's what it sounded like.
Well, yeah, he can't break any more video games because he's already done that.
Or he's going to get a console version video game and his world is now bigger. I don't know. It's a...
This seems like
it's video games, and they have cities, they got ports and stuff. It's video games. You can't really stretch video game if you're already going to do a movie about video game characters, and they can jump in between other games. How is it a stretch to say he goes to the internet?
The Lion King 2 was traced to DVD.
Oh, right? Yeah. Lord.
The stretch isn't the plot.
There we go.
The stretch isn't the plot. The stretch is the quality. So, like, yeah, I get it. That's the next
evolution. All the cast is back.
You get some video games. I don't care about the...
And Mario! Voice actors Mario's aren't writing the script.
Voice actors aren't writing the script.
But they have... They got more Nintendo rights, so more Nintendo characters are going to come in. Mario's going to be in this one.
Still doesn't make it good.
They also have more of a title. It's got, like, 18 characters in the flipping title. I mean, holy hell.
I'll say it as long as...
Ralph breaks the internet. Wreck-It Ralph 2. Why can't they call it Wreck-It Ralph 2? And then Ralph breaks the internet. Why do we?
Well,
have
you don't
to do
know.
The
that's gonna be
for, like that. Makes
that's
no
just
sense.
What they're saying right now. The first thing I thought of is as long as Wreck-It Ralph's not posing like Kim Kardashian in Paper Magazine, I'm fine. Don't need him like in a little.
You know the magazine title she was in?
Well, yeah, because I follow social media.
Yeah, okay, just kidding.
This movie is gonna do poo. It would be better if it was straight to DVD.
No, I, you know, all they gotta do is put it at a time when there's not a lot of kid movies out, and it's gonna do great. This I will butt heads with you on.
No, I agree. This is gonna bomb.
Yep.
I like the first one. I didn't like it enough to see it in theater or anything like that.
The first one bombed at the theater. It didn't do great at the theater. Did great at DVD, and it did great on people picking it up on iTunes.
This is not a theater type movie.
I beg to differ, but that's because I'm a fan of it.
We shall see when the trailer comes out, and we'll make another judgment of it. We'll make more judgments. Constant.
Sorry,
judgments.
That was a Shrek shot. I apologize.
Actually, if you get a chance on Netflix, Netflix has Shrek the Musical. The stream.
Oh, no.
It's actually entertaining. It's entertaining. Watch Shrek the Musical, which is the just recorded performance of the Broadway play Shrek the Musical. It was entertaining.
Yeah, if you guys have nothing else to watch, it's pretty good. If you do have other things to watch and still want to watch really good shows, watch Dave Chappelle on Netflix. Both of his comedy specials are absolutely effing fantastic.
I might have to give him a shot. I saw him live here, and it was terrible a couple years back. It was
really?
The worst live comedy performances I've ever seen in my life.
Was that when he was high? Was he high during it?
Yeah.
Because I've heard that when he's stoned out of his mind, his shows are terrible.
Yeah, he was drunk, high. He had no material. He was asking the crowd for material. What should I talk about next? It was the worst stand-up experience in my life. It was so bad.
Oh.
Ouch.
Yeah. That sucks, because he probably played top bill for the tickets, too. That blows.
This was an impromptu show. So he just announced the morning of radio shows. Dave Chappelle's in town. He's going to do a show at House of Blues tonight. Buy your tickets. He just announced it. So we got tickets, went. Oof, that was rough. Yeah.
Damn. Yeah. Chappelle's show was so good. Mm-hmm. But his two comedy specials on Netflix are really, really awesome. They're an hour long, two separate sets, really, really good stuff.
Yeah, because the trailers for those, they didn't show a lot of the material in there, so that really brought up my concern, because Netflix is hit or miss with some of their stand-up, but I was laughing out loud.
It was that funny.
Give it a shot, then. Give it a shot.
Last on Hype Train, just wanted to say, we've talked about it in the past, Pacific Rim Uprising, it's rap production, they're ready, they're going into post-production right now and adding in their CG stuff. I'm keeping my fingers crossed for it. I thoroughly enjoyed the first one.
Yeah, let's hope it's good, and I think it's going to be entertaining. Rock'em Sock'em Robots in the Ocean is always fun for me. Give me that give me that good Guillermo del Toro entertaining, and let's go.
Pacific
Rim. This isn't Real Steel.
Real Steel 2 is in development now, but it's in development. I loved Real Steel. Yeah. That Real Steel 2 was like... I don't know. Okay.
Hair stare.
No, I watched. It's made, a lot of the stuff I like though is also because my kids.
Real Steel was an okay movie. My kids love it. Especially my son. He loves watching the robots beat the hell out of each other.
I think that you got to remember that a lot of my movies, like if I watch them, and if my kids really get enjoyment out of them, it makes me watch them a different way. And so when that happens, something that necessarily I might not have liked as much as my family likes, it'll turn my opinion more. Like I liked Maleficent when I saw it, but my family still watches that film all the time. And it's, you know, it turned my liked it, but as I watched it a few more times, I picked a lot of stuff out. I like it even more. But again, that's also because of how my family views it. It makes things more enjoyable, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know about Real Steel. I'll watch Pacific Rim Uprising, though. I did enjoy the first one. The plot was incoherent, but the action was awesome on that one. But you brought up something on Netflix, and it made me think there is a show dropping on Netflix next week. Season 2 of The Get Down drops next week. So that season 1 was the second most expensive show in the history of television. And they're coming back with next season. It's going to be a ton of music. I know I've done quite a bit on music this week. And musicals, we did Duet. I hit Shrek. And then with this one. So Get Down, season 2 drops next week. And it was first season was fantastic. And with that, let's go into This Week in Geek.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough roads to get up to 88.
Roads? Well, we're going. We don't need... Rose.
March 30th, 1951, the first commercial computer, UNIVAC, is received by the U.S. Census Bureau. Interestingly enough, the Census Bureau had driven the development of devices that eventually led to computers since the 1890s, and Herman Hollerath's punch card calculator.
March 22nd, 1999. I got the date right. I wasn't wrong.
March 26th.
Dang it. I was so close. So close. The first email virus to cause widespread damage and one of the fastest spreading viruses in history, Melissa was released into the wild on an early Friday morning and within 3 days would infect between 100,000 and 250,000 computers around the world. While the virus did not directly cause any damage, the sheer volume of email that it generated crashed many corporate Microsoft email servers.
And on March 25th, 1996, the movie Twister became the first featured film put on DVD. RIP Bill Paxton. Mm-hmm. Hashtag Helen Hunt was hot.
RIP the cow.
This is true. It was definitely a movie when I heard of Bill Paxton's passing. I was like, oh man, I watched Twister. I think I saw it twice in the theater, to be quite honest. It was awesome at the time. It was pretty groundbreaking, mm-hmm. the movie itself, and had drawn a lot of attention for sure. Yeah.
First time big special effects felt as real as it did, I think, in that one.
Definitely. So I think we're headed to the wrap up, right? Damian Nash, where can we find you at?
You can find me on Twitter at Mr. Damian Nash, all one word. Find me manning the Geekologist Twitter page, usually typically late night, minus the T for character restrictions. I have an article coming up here, should be releasing here in about a week or so, on Rectified Gaming. And also, you can just find me on Uprising Gaming on Slack and just all over the place right now. Every word's usually Damian Nash.
If you're not using Damian Nash and you want to find Caucasian Saint, where can we find you at?
Caucasian Saint, all one word, over on the Twittersphere. And you can find me right here on Geekologist Radio. And you can also find me guest hosting on our friends over at Nordentials podcast on their episode 2. I guessed it on that one.
Some Cajun heat.
Cajun heat, I brought it.
It was a good, episode too, man.
He brought the spicy Cajun. Brandon, where can we find you at?
You can find me on Twitter at @BE_FOUTZ. You can also find me hiding in the alleyway behind the movie theater, hiding from my serial killer Mac that killed my mommy and daddy, and I'm just so sad about it. And I don't know what I'm going to do. Chris, where can we find you?
First of all, it takes you like 45 minutes to get to that theater. It's a long hike in 4 to 5 inches.
No. So seriously, I've got a theater that's 8 miles away.
Then what about the one you actually? What about the one you actually go to?
That is the one I go to. Okay. It's 8 miles away. There's one screen. It is actually literally the smallest town in the country with an active theater.
That's crazy. People come from miles away.
Yeah.
To watch one theater that's like, it rotates movies all day, right? It doesn't show like the same.
Nothing stays in the theater longer than 2 weeks. No,
they only play movies Thursday night, Friday night, and there's a Saturday matinee and a Saturday night. That's the only time they play.
All right. This is Christopher. You can find me on Twitter at @2wolves, TWOWOLVZZ. I'm on Twitter like bananas, so if you're checking out my Twitter account, you can find me anywhere. Give me a shout. I'll give you a shout back.
Right, just remember, guys, we are a part of the Ninja Pancakes family of podcasts, and if you go to ninjapancake.com, you can find all kinds of other podcasts. Some of my favorite ones are My Morning Coffee and Collecting What Remains and Geek Squatch.
I just started listening to Geek Squatch, and I'm halfway through and our evening beverage one. I really like the Geek Squatch episode. I'm going to be listening to a lot more of that one. So I liked it.
Just another thing to throw in there is that we're going to start throwing in every other – it'll be about every other Sunday I'm going to start recording an episode alongside with our Nerdential brothers. And it's we're working on the Backlog Chronicles. It turned into, well, we're talking about movies, all this stuff. I'm always trying to catch up on things. After writing a couple articles and this is saying that this is going to run really long and it's an article format, we decided to talk with those guys. We're going to turn it into a kind of a mini podcast on some episodes. Other episodes might be long form, but we'll see. So as those come out, first episode of the month will be hosted on the Geekologist stream. Second one will be hosted on Nerdential stream. And we'll get you more as that gets ready to come out.
And with that, that's it for us over here at Geekologist Radio. Y'all have a good one, and we'll catch y'all next week. We are out of here.